This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
I took the man out for his birthday last week.
Oh, you did?
Yep. We went to a Japanese restaurant, a really good one, because I thought, you know, I love Japanese food and I loved going to Japan over summer. So took him to this restaurant and we ordered a fugu fish.
Who?
A fugu fish.
Fugu.
Fugu fish.
Are you talking Fendi?
No, and you know.
Oh, typical gay, you can't get his designer
fugu,
together.
Fugu, so it comes from two Chinese characters meaning river and pig.
Oh, a river pig. I've dated one of those before, I think.
We ordered a river pig. So it's also known as the puffer fish or the blowfish or the globefish because it can puff itself up in water if it gets threatened, so it looks really big.
Just keep talking because it sounds like you're talking dirty to me. It's gonna,
I ate this fugu fish. This fugu fish contains this deadly poison. Now, I always knew that there was a Japanese fish, puffer fish, that contains a deadly poison, but I didn't realize that it's called the fugu fish. And the lady came up and she said, oh, this is our delicacy for tonight. Would you like to try it? And I thought, you know what? It's his birthday. Let's lash out and let's try something different.
Yeah, let's try and kill him on his birthday. I've been trying for weeks. It doesn't work. Let's go million expensive restaurant. Oh, sure he goes.
So we tried this fish that contains this deadly poison. I didn't realize it until afterwards when he said to me, hey, you know this is the poisonous fish. And I thought, oh, my God. And I was thinking, would I have eaten it if I'd have known in the first place? And I'm not sure I would have. And when he ate it, he actually got this tingling sensation in his mouth. And he didn't say anything to me. But apparently the chefs can leave a little bit of the poison in there because people
just
like
to get
this
tingling
sensation.
There's lots of poison things in the world. So you're going on. Are you a big deal? You know? But what about apple? I had an apple seed this morning. That's poisonous.
Oh, is that arsenic
in it? So I could have died. So you calm down, princess. Yeah. Did you know nutmeg can cause an hallucination?
Nutmeg?
Nutmeg. Yes. Eating one whole nutmeg can lead to psychosis.
You're joking.
No. So what do you count? Oh, you ate
a fish.
I
love nutmeg.
There's so much. A potato can kill me.
A potato?
Yeah.
Well, if you choke on it.
Oh, no. It's got glycosides in it or something that can give me cramps in the stomach. But they do say 3 to 6 milligrams of this glycosoid thing from a potato per kilogram is enough to kill you.
Really?
Yeah. So what? You ate a fish.
Not well. I mean, this fish, there's about 3,800 fugu restaurants in Japan.
Has anyone died?
No. They might have. Preparation is controlled by law. This is how bad it is. Fugu chefs must go through rigorous training for years to get this certification. At the end of the training, this is how they pass the test by eating the fish that they've prepared.
See, that was what I was going to say. I would say to the chef, sure, I'll have a bite. You first, bitch.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Well, if they don't, they either pass or they die.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
That'd be a great game.
Well,
at the restaurant, you know, whoever chef's alive at the end has to pay for dinner.
The worst thing is about this toxin, I think it's called tetrodotoxin, it doesn't cross the brain barrier.
Oh,
so you
safe.
Actually remain fully conscious while your central nervous system gradually shuts down. What a horrible thing.
It sounds like that is the cataracts, that date rape drug, isn't it what they were doing?
I don't know, but it produces dizziness, incoherent speech, and then it paralyzes the muscles, which can lead to asphyxia and possibly death. So I ate this fish. I had no idea that this was the fish that I was eating, but, you know.
We can actually tell it affected your brain. I mean, it did seep through a little
bit. Well, he knew what it was. He didn't say, no, Warren, don't eat it.
And your partner's a doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, if you had enough of that, next he'll be a nurse.
Oh, my God, he tried to kill me.
I went out on Saturday night to a friend's party. It was such a good party. It started at 11 a.m. and we're meant to be home by 6. I left at midnight. I was so sick. But regardless, so I thought, I'm going to get an Uber. I'll get an Uber.
Yep.
And you put the app on the bastard didn't turn up.
What?
No Uber came.
You're joking. Did you use it properly?
No, no. You put the app on my phone. I hit the button. I said, take me home.
Yep.
Yep.
It requested one and didn't turn up.
No, and it kept cancelling it.
Oh.
Yeah. It would say, like, there's 1 7 minutes and then it would disappear.
Oh, I wonder what Uber actually says about you, because they can now figure out if a customer's drunk.
No, they can't.
They can.
I was sick.
Even before they climb into one of their taxis or one of their rides.
So you're telling me that Uber could tell by the way I was using the app that I was a little bit inebriated?
Potentially, yeah. They're monitoring how the customers use their phone, the angle it's being held, how the customer is walking, and especially if the ride is being ordered up from a bar or pub at 2 a.m.
So because I was staggering through the hallway, they could tell that I couldn't walk straight?
Potentially, yeah. They can tell that.
So this whole world's becoming like this.
Well, it's interesting. My Uber driver this morning, she was lovely. She said to me that she now gets a report on each ride, and it says whether she braked too heavily or too fast and what her speed was and whether it was comfortable for the passenger.
So who's saying that? The car's saying that or the passenger?
No. Uber are telling her how she drove.
Oh, I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of people telling me what to do. I'm going to do what I want. Well, until I get caught and then I stop.
You do what you want.
Well, to a degree. But, you saying that, I told you that I went to buy a new mobile phone. And I won't say the company, you bastards. Yeah. And I put it through and I must admit I kept hitting the wrong number with my credit card. I kept hitting and then I kept rejecting it. So I'll do it again.
Mm.
They took my $499. The next day I get an email from them saying, sorry, we don't accept your order anymore. Because I'd made a mistake putting my credit card in, they found it that I was not safe to pay.
Oh, really?
Mm. Then I said, well, give me my $499 back.
And they took it?
Oh, 21 days, you'll get that back.
Oh, that's a bit unfair.
Oh.
Got some statistics here that are quite concerning. Do you know a baby boy born in Australia in 2010 has a life expectancy of 78 years?
That's a long time.
78 years. But a girl born at the same time can expect to live to 82.3 years.
Is that genetics or because they have an easy life?
Well, apparently right from the start, we suffer more illness, more accidents, and die earlier than our counterparts.
I could believe that. So basically what you're telling me, boys are stupid. And we know that.
Maybe.
Because I think about having two daughters and a son, they'd be out playing. The girls know how to play.
But the boys don't.
No, they're jumping off fences, throwing hammers at people, like it's crazy.
I don't know, but to help us work out why there is this discrepancy, Dr. Neil Hall, Assistant Director of Men's Health Information and Resource Centre at Western Sydney University, joins us on the line. Good morning, Neil.
Hi, Tom and Warren.
Now, it's a special week this week, isn't it, Neil?
It's Men's Health Week this week, that's right. We've been running Men's Health Week for about 20 years in Australia. It started as an international movement and we've picked it up in Australia about 20 years ago.
Why do we single out men? Why in particular?
Well, I mean, everything's got a day or a week or a month at the moment, but the reason for drawing attention to men's health for this particular week is some of the stats that you've thrown at us, the life expectancy is shorter for males. The incidence of gender-specific cancers, for example, is greater for males. More males die of prostate cancer than women die of breast cancer, for example. And sadly, the suicide rate is extremely high. It's 3 to 1 males.
They've always talked that men were worse at trying to seek help. I mean, in the 20 years, has men got better on seeking help for our mental health or physical problems?
Oh, look, there's definitely been a generational shift. Younger males particularly are much more comfortable to talk to their peers and to seek out support services if they require. I think the advent of online services has helped a lot in that way. But there are a lot of things that are not just related to whether blokes talk about their stuff or not.
Neil, what are the major issues that affect men's health?
Prostate cancer is a significant one, but suicide and mental health issues like depression and anxiety are major issues, significantly higher for males than for females. And so 6 blokes die a day from suicide.
Wow, that's terrible.
Awful.
I mean, if we're going back to the prostate, which is a very important thing, I'm read an article and saying masturbation's good for it.
Oh, I haven't read that article.
Well, I will send you. Maybe I made it up. It's probably more likely to the truth. But without being too rude, I mean, you are a doctor.
Yeah.
How many fingers would you recommend for a prostate exam?
I'm not a medical doctor.
Oh, I thought it said here doctor.
An academic doctor.
An academic doctor. Neil, if there's one piece of advice you would give to men, what would it be?
Yep. Look, this week, Men's Health Week, our focus is on men and families. And so one of the things that we're looking to be able to promote this week is the health benefits that families have for blokes. And so spending some time with family is a really important thing. But also we want to celebrate the strength that men bring to their families as well, rather than just always focusing on the negatives and to some extent blaming men for their own health problems. Let's rethink whether, that men actually have some strengths that they can bring to their family, to their local community.
And Neil, if there's guys out there and they're not necessarily sure, they might have some health concerns, although I think, yep. I'm getting to that age where I do need to start having regular checkups and they're not sure where to go, what would be the best place to start?
Well, we always say that for medical things, your local GP is always the first stop shop. We stress the importance of having at least an annual checkup. I was playing in a pub band a couple of years ago. We were all kind of reaching that age where we required that particular exam. And we basically made a pact with I'll go if you go kind of thing. So, it's not just about the checkup, but it's also about finding that support from family, from mates, someone that you can, I think, go shoulder to shoulder with. Men tend to talk shoulder to shoulder rather than face to face.
And I think what you said is very true. If you've got a good family, you've got a good friend background, you probably are more likely to seek help and take care of your own health issues.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the research tells us that three good relationships in your life will give you a healthier life and you will live 7 years longer.
Oh, my goodness, 7 years.
Well, I'm hoping.
Just with three good friendships.
And yep. So three good friendships in 7 years. That's a great statistic.
That makes me feel
it's
happier.
It's not a bad equation, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Neil, thanks so much for talking to us on Joy about this important Men's Health Week.
You're very welcome, guys.
Thanks, Neil. Dr. Neil Hall, Assistant Director of Men's Health Information and Resource Centre at Western Sydney University. Did you see in the paper today that flying cars could be zipping through the Melbourne skies in the next 5 years?
As we all know, I turned 50 in a couple of weeks. They've been telling me that since I was at school. When you're 30, you'll be flying cars. And I'm still driving.
They potentially could be coming. We're in a battle with Sydney and other world cities to become the first international test bed for the flying vehicles. Uber executives are apparently meeting Australian politicians, transport authorities and property developers this week about the flying car project.
I still don't believe it. I want to wait and see. But let's be honest, the amount of people out there driving on the roads, we don't need that shit above us. I mean, that's dangerous.
You could get away from it, though. That's the thing. Melbourne Airport and the city will take about 5 minutes.
Sounds great.
In an Uber flying thing. That's pretty good.
But I still don't believe it. When do they say it's happening?
So if Melbourne selected the Jetson-style mode of transport could be tested as soon as 2020.
Aren't we like, that's not far away.
I can just got a picture of Tom flying into Joy.
Oh, could you imagine? I would love it. Yeah.
So you'd request an Uber Air ride using the smartphone app, similar to how you request Uber Now, and they'd carry four passengers and a qualified pilot. Oh, so they'd still have to have a pilot, so they're not automatic.
Well, it's not magic. It's not a carpet. You're not flying through the air.
Maybe that's if something goes wrong, the pilot can just
take over. Look, I'm really excited, but I still, like I said, I don't believe it. They've been telling me that forever.
Well, apparently they're going to test it in some city, so we're trying to get it.
So it cost me $60 to get the bus from there to the airport.
Is it $60?
From the city?
Bucks?
I'm sure it was something. Was it return? It was. So how much is the flying Uber going to cost me? $3,500, You'll have to give up your firstborn. Where are you going?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't even got a train. Maybe we need a train. Isn't that – well, that's been announced now, hasn't it? Isn't that the next project?
Oh, it's like everything.
It's being announced every year.
Yeah.
Study into it or something. So, yeah, so we could be flying to the airport soon.
Excellent. I can't wait.
We got a message from Brad saying, Warren, they can't even get the driverless cars right. Do you really think that flying cars are going to be any different? I hopped in a car, one of those electric cars, a few weeks ago, and the guy – I had to keep my hands on the wheel, but he put it onto the auto thing, and it was on the freeway, and it was changing lanes with – I wasn't doing a thing.
I couldn't do it. There's no way in hell.
I wasn't doing it. I was putting the indicator on and it waited for a gap and then it just changed lanes. And then I said, I want to exit. I put the left indicator on and it up straight up the exit. So I reckon it is coming.
It shocks me how you rich people live in this world.
I was I didn't own the car.
The rest of us have to walk. Other people, they get in driverless cars. Oh, with my man again.
I was just excited and I went and I booked a test drive and I drove it and I was shocked by what it could do. So I reckon these flying cars are going to come.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.